Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers, text number 27. Naisha Paravara Mitir Bhavato Nanusyaj. Jantur Yatatma Surido Jagatastatapi. Sam sevaya saratayor ivate prasada. Seva nirupam ad udayo natapara varatvam. Not. Asha. Difficult word for me to pronounce. So. This. Para avara. Of higher or lower. Mati. Such discrimination. Bhavataha. Of your lordship. Nanu. Indeed. Syat. There can be. Janto. Of ordinary living entities. Yata as Atma Surida, of one who is the friend. Jagataha, of the whole material world. Tatapi, but still, there is such a denomination of intimacy, demonstration of intimacy or difference. Sam sevaya, according to the degree of service rendered by the devotee. Surataraha, surataro eva, like that of the desire tree in Vaikuntha, which offers fruits according to the desire of the devotee. Te, your prasada, benediction or blessing. Seva anurupam, according to the category of service one renders to the Lord. Udaya, manifestation. Na, not. Para avartara. Para-avaratvam, discrimination due to higher or lower levels. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Unlike an ordinary living entity, my Lord, you do not discriminate between friends and enemies, the favorable and the unfavorable, because for you there is no conception of higher and lower. Nonetheless, you offer your benedictions according to the level of one's service, exactly as the desire tree delivers fruits according to one's desires. Makes no distinction between the lower and the higher. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 4.11, the Lord clearly says, Yeyatamam prapadyante, yeyatamam prapadyante, tamstataiva pajamyaham. As one surrenders unto me, I reward him accordingly. As stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vivera Srupahoy, Krishnera Nityadas. Every living being is an eternal servant of Krishna. According to the service the living entity renders, he automatically receives benedictions from Krishna, who does not make distinctions thinking, here is a person in an intimate relationship with me, and here is a person I dislike. Krishna advises everyone to surrender to him. Sarva dharma prachaja mam ekam sharanam braja. One's relationship with the Supreme Lord is in proportion to that surrender and the service one renders unto the Lord. Thus, throughout the entire world, the higher or lower positions of the living entities are selected by the living entities themselves. one is inclined to dictate that the Lord grant something, one receives benedictions according to his desires. One wants to be elevated to the higher planetary systems, the heavenly planets, he can be promoted to the place he desires. And one wants to remain a hog or a pig on earth, the Lord fulfills that desire also. Therefore, one's position is determined by one's desires. The Lord is not responsible for the higher or lower grades of our existence. This is further explained quite definitely in Bhagavad Gita 9:25 by the Lord himself. Yanti deva vrata devan pitrin yanti prithvi vrataha bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti madhyajino pimam. Some people want to be promoted to the heavenly planets. Some want to be promoted to Pitri Loka. Some want to remain on earth. But if one is interested in returning home back to Godhead, he could be promoted there also. According to the demands of a particular devotee, he receives a result by the grace of the Lord. The Lord does not discriminate, thinking, here is a person favorable to me, and here is a person who is not favorable. Rather, he fulfills the desires of everyone. Therefore, the Shastra is enjoying Kamo Sarvakamo Va Moksha Kamo Daradi Tivraina Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purushapura. Whether one is without desire, the condition of the devotee, or is desirous of all free results, or is after liberation, one should all efforts try to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead with complete perfection, culminating in Krishna consciousness. The Bhagavatam 2.3.10. According to one's position, whether as a devotee or a karmi or a jnani, whatever one wants, one can get if one fully engages in the service of the Lord. So the text again. Naisha paravaramutir bhavatonus nanusyaj chantor yatatma srido jagatastatapi. Sam sevaya suratayor ivate prasada seva nurupa marayo naparavaratvam. Unlike an ordinary living entity, my Lord, you do not discriminate between friends and enemies, the favorable and the unfavorable, because for you there is no conception of higher and lower. Nonetheless, you offer your benedictions according to the level one service, exactly as the desire tree delivers fruits according to one's desire, makes no distinction between the lower and the higher. The first chapter in this canto is called The Supreme Lord is Equal to Everyone. And here Prahlad Maharaj is confirming that in the material world, Krishna is equal to everyone. Otherwise, the demons were claiming that Krishna is like a little child. If a little child is offered some candy by some passerby, then immediately he becomes attracted to that person. Similarly, the demons were saying, because Krishna is getting a little offering from the demigods, therefore now he has taken their sides and he's become partial to them. But actually, Krishna is equal to everyone. Just like we can see that Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of demons, and yet Krishna revealed himself to Prahlad Maharaj because he became a devotee. Similarly, sometimes devotees deviate and they get into trouble, like Bharat Maharaj. Although he was practically on the platform of bhava, perfectional stage, just by becoming in contact with the deer, he became a deer in his next lifetime. Of course, Krishna did not forget about his devotional service, and therefore he was not an ordinary deer. He was a deer who took shelter of the devotees and heard Bhagavatam class every day, even as a deer. And whatever leaves he ate, he offered first to Krishna, to the deer incarnation. Because he was very dear to Krishna. So Krishna is equal to everyone. As one develops, as it says in the purport here, that as one develops service and surrender, then his relationship with Krishna develops. Or on the opposite way, if one is not developing one's service relation with Krishna, if one is acting more and more in terms of the lower and lower qualities of material nature, then one's relation with Krishna becomes more and more separate or far away, not experienced. Instead, one becomes more and more absorbed in relationship to the material nature, namely the gross and subtle material bodies. So the soul can have relation with Krishna in his original spiritual form, in his original spiritual identity, or he can have relationship with matter by becoming more and more absorbed in the material conception of life. So, Krishna doesn't want the living entity to stay in ignorance and therefore suffer the material nature, and so he comes millennium after millennium. One cannot say that Krishna is indifferent to the soul, or he left the soul to do it, you know, by himself. Krishna accompanies the soul, and he comes as guru, sadhu, shastra, and he comes in many incarnations trying to turn the soul away from the material concept of life to the spiritual concept of serving him. In any case, while the soul remains in the material existence, unaware of Krishna, or even averse to Krishna, then Krishna remains neutral. Krishna doesn't directly talk to such a soul. All he does is give him intelligence, how to fulfill his activities. But Krishna doesn't talk to the demons, the asuras. He says who he talks to. Tesham sadatam yuktanam bhajantam pritipuravakam dadami buddhyogam tam yenamam upyantite. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, then I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. So Krishna enlightens the souls who are interested in progressively serving him more steadily and more enthusiastically. Now the living entity is entangled in material existence because of his being bewildered by ignorance. So the material nature has an effect on us as spiritual beings. It bewilders our consciousness. It bewilders us. Bewilders our spiritual intelligence because the material nature is Krishna's energy and therefore has the power to bewilder the living entity. Just as the spiritual energy, Daivi Prakriti, also bewilders the living entity into believing that Krishna is an ordinary person and reciprocating in terms of love with Krishna. So the illusory energy, the material nature, also bewilders us into thinking that Krishna is an ordinary person and bewilders us into a relationship with the material energy, namely the gross and subtle bodies and things in relationship to it. So the soul, deluded by ignorance, becomes entangled in material nature and therefore desires to be put into certain conditions of life. It is not that Krishna is forcing us to be in the material world, but we desire to be in the material world. We want to be in the material world because we're looking forward to certain material circumstances that we think will make us happy. And especially in Kali Yuga, there's so much advertisement about how nice the future will be. At least it used to be like that. That so much technology is advancing, because technology means, as we can see, practically to enslave people, to become like robots. But in any case, people are bewildered by ignorance and they don't realize that. They want to be like a robot. They think if they become a robot, they'll become more powerful. They won't have to bother with thinking and having a conscience and things like that. They can just grab whatever they want, like an animal, and they won't think about it at all. No problem. I'm a robot. I'm even less than an animal. But this is because of ignorance. People are bewildered, and therefore they become controlled by the material nature. The living entity is by nature full of knowledge. It's not that he knows everything, because we're very small, but at least he knows correctly what things are, the way things actually are. When one is in Krishna consciousness, one sees everything as it actually is. May not see everything, but at least whatever he sees is correct. Otherwise, in the material world, one is bewildered by four defects: imperfect senses, committing mistakes, tendency to cheat, and being an illusion. So with those four defects, one is bewildered. That's because we're very small. If we were big, then we wouldn't get deluded by ignorance. But because we're small, then we're entrapped by Maya. So if we think we're really big, then how is it that we become entrapped by Maya? If we were a big, big devotee, very important, then why is it that we still think we're this body? That's because we're actually quite small. And when one realizes he's very small, then he doesn't get bewildered by ignorance anymore, because that's who he actually is. And when we think we're really big, then we're deluded by ignorance, because we're actually quite small. The only thing big about us is our false ego. The soul can desire according to his free will. So that's all we really have here, is our capacity to desire. If we desire correctly, if we make the correct choices, because we're offered choices, flowing through our minds are choices. Now, if we associate with the devotees and hear about Krishna, then we should get a variety of choices how to engage in Krishna's service. And if we don't, then there's simply varieties of choices which mode of material nature we want to engage in. Without Krishna consciousness, even with Krishna consciousness, it's not that the material nature doesn't offer us choices in the modes of nature. It still does, as long as we might become attached to those choices. As long as we've shown a willingness to become attached to them, then they're still offered to us. Like we may be trying to do devotional service and some thought comes. Go get that pizza in the store. And we go, no, Maya, I don't want it, I don't want it. So Maya notes, you know, actually he really wants it. He's having a hard time restraining himself. So a couple of days later, you walk in by the same place, and Maya goes, there it is, you got your chance. No, oh, well, all right, go for it. Just one piece. Just one pie. No, two pies. So attachment, aversion, they're both sides of the same coin. So Maya is Krishna. They're constantly watching what we're doing. They know if we're good or bad, so be good for Krishna's sake. You better, in America, in the English, they, for Christmas, which is coming up, they have, you better not laugh, you better not cry. What is that? What's the first part of it? Something about you better not, was it before, what's that? Santa Claus is coming to town. Well, what's the first part of it? Does anyone know? You better not laugh, you better not cry, something like that. You better be good, and I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to. He knows if you're bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. So Krishna, that's actually Krishna. He's the supreme Santa Claus. So we have to be good for Krishna's sake. So the living entity is being presented with so many different desires, and if he chooses the right desire, he becomes elevated. Or if he chooses desire for Krishna service, then he becomes spiritualized. Better to choose a desire to elevate one than to degrade one. But the Lord is not responsible for what we're desiring. That's up to us. We can't claim, I got this body, I got into these circumstances, I'm not responsible. It's by accident, or the Lord was sleeping, or he's just unfair. But actually, every moment, every second, everything is perfectly arranged according to what we've done in the past to give us the results of our present in the present. And similarly, whatever, however we react to the present, we'll get to accumulate our reactions to the future. It's like bees, they go out and they gather pollen. There may be different varieties of pollen, jasmine flowers, sunflowers, whatever flowers, marigolds. And they bring back the pollen into their hive and they make some honey. And then the bees or the people who take the honey taste the honey. And the taste of the honey is according to the different varieties of pollen they acquire or collect. Similarly, according to our different activities, desires, and activities, we're collecting little bits of karma, and they're coming together, making some reaction in the future. And in the future, if we remain in the material world, then we'll taste the reactions of our thoughts, desires, and activities. Maybe not immediately, but in the future, we're accumulating our little bits of karmic reactions, which will manifest themselves as some activity and experience in the future. But at any time, we can always turn towards Krishna. But here in the Krishna, paratakshatova, itopipadyeta grihavratanam. Unfortunately, the last thing people want to do is to turn towards Krishna. The last person they want to seek refuge is Krishna. At least not as Krishna as a person, that he has desires, or that he may tell us to do something. Sometimes the devotees are like that. They get initiated, their spiritual master lives far away. No problem. We don't have to call him up every day, ask if we can take prasadam. Matter of fact, we don't have to ask him anything. If he comes, we have to throw some flowers to show that we're loyal. But we may not be so much interested in actually what anyone has to say except for my mind. So, the living entity is conditioned by the material nature, being offered different varieties of desires, spiritual and material, and it's up to him to choose. Desire is a subtle form of conditioning of the living entity. That we're conditioned, we're here in the material world because we're conditioned by choosing the wrong desires. And if we simply choose the right desires, then we become liberated. It's that simple. But that's simple for the simple and complicated for people who don't like that idea. But when one desires in terms of Krishna, then Krishna takes special care of the devotee. He tries to help the devotee desire in the right way, because he gives them either reactions, he slams the devotee, or he rewards them with some bliss and some realizations, whatever. Krishna, if we do the right thing, Krishna is very happy and he rewards us. If we do the wrong thing, he chastises us. Just so we can come to the right, choose the right desires. Otherwise, if he rewarded us for the wrong desires, then we get into more and more difficulty. Like Daksha said, he thanked Lord Shiva for cutting his head off, destroying his sacrifice, because he said, actually, I offended you, you're a great devotee of Krishna, and if I would have kept on offending you, I would have paved my path to hell. But since you've chastised me, now I'm actually become rectified, and now my progress is possible, forward. So Krishna is like a father, he takes care of his devotees. Samaham samabhuteshu name dveshtu nasyaha ye prajante tumam bhakti amai te teshu chapyam. Krishna envy no one, or is he partial to anyone? He's equal to everyone, but whoever takes shelter of him as a friend is in him and he's within them. So, if there was not such reciprocation, then we wouldn't have a personalist philosophy. In the impersonal philosophy, everything is just going on mechanically, just like Krishna told his father, Nanda Maharaj, don't worry about the gods or the demigods. They just automatically reciprocate according to what you do. But Krishna is not like that. He takes special care of his devotee. But the soul is in the material world because of his desire to lord over the material nature. as Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, a pure soul is an eternal servant of God as his fragmental part and parcel, comes into contact with Maya illusion due to the desire to lord over Maya. That is the cause of many sufferings. As long as he's in contact with matter, he has to execute work in terms of material necessity. So if you haven't noticed, we may not come to class, we may not come to any program, but if you want to find out how many devotees are in the temple, go to prasadam. Matter of fact, even the cockroaches come out for that. Everyone comes when it's time to eat. You see someone sitting at the table and say, "Who are you? You don't know here? I've been here for 20 years. So when it comes time to eating, sleeping, perhaps not mating or defending here, generally we defend more subtly. But these are necessities that we're forced to take part in. Try and stop breathing for a while. Everyone take a big breath. See if we can last another 15 minutes. No, we're forced to breathe. We're being forced by material nature to do so many things. When nature calls, we have to answer her call, one way or another. But Krishna consciousness, however, brings one to spiritual life even while one is within the jurisdiction of matter. So we're not about to walk out of the material body. It's not, we heard the first instruction in Bhagavad Gita, we're not this body, and we think, well, why should I stay in this body? And you see this little soul walking out. I think I'll go somewhere else. We can't walk out, we can't get out of the body. But we can arouse our spiritual existence while we're within the body. And Prabhupada writes, the more one is advanced, the more he is arousing his spirit by practice in the material world. So we can practice devotional service and develop our Krishna consciousness while we're here in the material world. The more one is advanced, the more he is freed from the clutches of matter. The Lord is not partial toward anyone. So in that respect, Krishna is equal. If we turn towards him, he reciprocates. If we go away from him, he chastises us through the material nature or himself personally. Depends. Everything depends on one's practical performance of duties in Krishna consciousness, which in every respect helps one control the senses and conquer the influence of desire and anger. So the idea is if we're actually even engaged in devotional service, then it's a higher taste. Even following the instructions coming from higher authorities in devotional service will bring us into contact with prasadam, the deities, kirtan, so many different things. And that will help us, if we're willing, to control our mind and senses. Something favorable to fix our mind on, and something good, pure, to engage in. And one who stands fast in Krishna consciousness, controlling the above-mentioned passions. But even while we're doing devotional service, we have to be careful of our enemies, namely lust, anger, and greed, and not become influenced by them. And remains one who stands fast in Krishna consciousness, controlling the above-mentioned passions, remains fast in the transcendental stage or Brahma Nirvana. The Eightfold Yoga mysticism is automatically practiced in Krishna consciousness because the ultimate purpose is served. So we don't have to do any other process. Just perform devotional service and at the same time try to do it with care and attention and without material desire, trying to please Krishna and his devotees. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Hare Krishna. Maharshi mentioned that when we have wrong desires, we suffer. And you mentioned the example of Daksha and how he was actually thankful and grateful to Lord Shiva when he was chastised and corrected. But usually we have experience when it happens to us that we are corrected or chastised, we are not thankful. We are more like more discouraged and even offended or something.
Angry.
Yeah. What to do? How to come to that level of daksha?
Well, I hope we don't learn the lesson one time. We'll get the lesson again. Eventually, we might learn the lesson. We think the lesson, we have to learn the lesson one way or another. If there's a lesson to be learned, Krishna will give us the same lesson again and again. We may be very slow to learn it. But we got time eternal to learn the lesson.
So suffering is the only way of learning for our, in our case, it seems.
Well, we could learn by hearing or by seeing good examples. We could learn by experience. Well, the best way is to learn by hearing. If we can't, then we have to learn by experience. The worst thing is not to learn at all. So take things as lessons and try to learn. Because we're getting lessons all the time, especially in Kali Yuga.
We usually always take the role of the victim, and that is unfair treatment.
Yes, Maya's yoga is chalati manasa. As soon as we try to make advance, Maya will try to delude the practitioner by so many different ideas and norms. Yeah. We're innocent victims. We lose our energy. Although we're always looking around to find who I can make a victim, we're claiming I'm a victim. So that's Maya. Pashana Pina Pashati. Maya takes our intelligence away. Otherwise, as Prabhupada was saying, unless I heard, people can go outside and they see a tree. The tree is a living entity like ourselves. It's growing. It does many, many different things. It even has some feelings. Even Dr. Chandra Bose proved that plants have feelings. Still, they're saying that this is a living entity like me, but in the form of a tree, can't move. I can do so many things, but it can't move. So maybe I could become a tree. But Pashana Pina Pashati, Maya will not allow one. One is sinful to think like that. She's already preparing your next body. So we're fortunate that we should utilize that fortune. Otherwise, we may become unfortunate and not be able to see what we're actually seeing. If we don't take the lesson, then we become a little bit more covered over, and then we get the reaction again. So maybe better to learn some in the course of time, something. Dangerous not to learn the lessons. As we can see in the material world, there are 8,400,000 species of life for those who don't learn lessons. Anything else?
Marcel has a question. When we feel aversion to something, how can we get rid of this aversion?
Yeah, you're averse to it. You're averse to becoming a demon. It's good. You're averse to becoming a demon. That's good. If you're averse to becoming a devotee, then that which in the beginning may be bitter like poison, at the end is like nectar, which awakens one to self-realization, said to be happiness and the mode of goodness. So we have to get instructions from higher authority and follow them. And then if we follow them, then we'll get a higher taste by becoming a servant. Even we have a thought, we become envious of someone, then we should think of what the higher, how the higher authorities would want me to see, whether they'd approve of my particular type of consciousness. And if not, what consciousness would they prefer I was in? And then try to adopt that, accept that consciousness. Because we have free will. We can give up one type of consciousness and accept another one. We have to find out a higher consciousness. And then, if we do, accept that consciousness. And if we refuse to do that, it's because we're rascals, that's all. And then we'll have to suffer. We're so much attached to our false ego, we think I won't make any improvement, then we have to suffer, that's all. Anything else? Thank you very much. Gandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.